Right, our reading will be taken from Philippians chapter number 1, starting at verse number 3. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor by the hand, look your neighbor square in the eye. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor by the hand, look your neighbor square in the eye, and say, neighbor, live to your full potential. Neighbor, live to your full potential. Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, Live to Your Full Potential. All of us know somebody from school, in life, that when we look at them, we saw them, especially when we're in school, we saw their potential. We saw how they were excellent students, and they were always in the advanced classes doing well. And we looked at them and said, they have potential. And then after y'all graduated, you ran into that person 10 years later. And in running into them and talking with them, you were shocked. Shocked that they didn't go to school. And shocked as you look at them, it seems like they're struggling just to make it. You know, it is sad when that occurs. Because, Reverend Rose, when that occurs, we walk away with questions in our mind. One of the questions we have in our mind is, who misguided this person to cause them to get off track? The other thing that goes through our mind is that if we saw this potential in them, why is it that they could not see it in themselves? We have to understand that sometimes some folk just don't get it. And then there are other times when folk are looking as though they are going right. There's always that somebody putting up a roadblock. But that's what really excites me when I look at Philippians chapter number 1 from verses 11 through, 3 through 11. What excites me is that Paul is doing something here. And what Paul here is doing is he's putting this church on notice. A church who he was excited about. A church who he knew God has blessed, and he has truly experienced how this church has blessed him. And what Paul here is about to say to them, which is truly important, because in verses 3, 4, and 5, there's something I want us to see. Because he says in verse number 3, I thank God every time I remember you. You see, when folk have blessed you. You know, when you think about them, you thank God for them. You ever have somebody in your life bless you? And whenever you think about it, you thank God for them because it seemed like they came at the right time and at the right moment. You see, and what he all goes on to say is that he's constantly praying for them in verse number 4. And every time he prays for them, he has joy on the inside because of the fact that he knows what is going on with them. And you know why it gives him joy? Because from the day he proclaimed the gospel to them, once they embraced this gospel, they have been sharing it ever since. You see, my brothers and my sisters, what Paul is making clear is that he sees the evidence of how God is blessing some folk who made a decision to embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ and are truly going and doing what God has called them to do. And this is what excites Paul and what is happening. You see, my brothers and my sisters, Paul sees the potential in the church in Philippi. And Paul is basically wanting them to know that you have to live to your full potential. But I want you to understand something, my brothers and sisters. That once the Lord calls you and once the Lord begins to bless you, I want you to know that's when the fight starts. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I ain't afraid to fight. Because I want you to understand that the Lord has fought a good fight for us. He paid the price for us. He allowed us to be where we are right now. And now that we are where we are right now, I want you to know the enemy ain't happy. So every now and then, we got to fight. We got to fight to praise God. We got to fight to walk in faith. We got to fight to love other folk. We got to fight to do all that God is calling us to do. Because we have somebody who is trying to block our blessings. I don't know about you, but I ain't letting the enemy block my blessing. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who understands? I don't care how the enemy is trying to block my blessing. I'm going to fight for my blessings because the Lord paid the price for me. So I am going to fight. I ain't going to run. I'm going to go forward doing what God has called me to do. But this is where it gets interesting. Because Paul is about to make a bold statement. In verse 6, he says, I am confident of this. You know, I got to stop right there. Paul says, I am confident about this, of this. You know why he is confident? Because he ain't just throwing the words out to them. You see, Gabriel, he's telling them what he knows to be true for himself. He's not talking about the words that are going to sound good and roll off his tongue well that he's going to get folk to shout from. It ain't about getting folk to shout. It's getting folk to understand that what I'm talking about, I've already been there. You see, my brothers and my sisters, Paul had been shipwrecked. He'd been beaten. He'd been stoned. He'd been left for dead. Folk had made decisions about what kind of man he was, but they didn't know the man fully for how God has blessed him. So Paul had to move forward, pressing on, knowing that I don't care what folk know about my past. I know who I am right now. And the Lord is the one that has given me the confidence in this ministry to glorify him. And everything that I came up against when I thought I couldn't do it, the Lord lifted me up to get me through it. Do I got anybody in here who had to think like that every now and then? When you thought you couldn't do it, the Lord lifted you up and got you through it. You see, my brothers and my sisters, when you think about how good our God is, when you start telling folk about what God can do, you're not having words just roll off your tongue. This is stuff that you know that happened for you, that happened to you on the inside. You know how the Lord has brought you through something. So when you're talking, you ain't trying to impress nobody. You're trying to let them know that they got to live up to their full potential. And when you're living up to your full potential, you're going to go through some trials and tribulations. But that's all right, because I know I got confidence in what God is going to do for me, because it did it for me yesterday. I know he'll do it again today. Do I got any folk in God's house that's got confidence in our God, confidence in knowing, confidence in sharing with somebody else that I serve a mighty good God, and if he can bless me, I know he can bless you. Go on and give somebody a high five and say, I know he gonna bless you.
I know he
He's going to bless you. Bro. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Look at this. I done got excited already. Come on and work with me. Look here at verse number 6. He says, let's look at verse number 6. I'm going to read it from the beginning. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it ain't start with you, but you better get started. Let me explain. In every living person here on this earth, God has put his seed in all of us. And Sister Penn, that seed stays dormant until, God bless you, until we accept Jesus Christ. Once we accept Jesus Christ, that seed which was dormant now begins to grow. And what we have to understand is that it's time for us to get started. You see, God has already put it inside of us. But in order for it to come out of us, we got to get started by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. You see, Paul said it best. He planteth, Apollos watereth, but only God. Oh, somebody working with me. Are you understanding where I'm going with this? Which means is that the Lord is the only one that can cause us to grow. And once the Lord starts us to growing, my young people, he wants us to live to our full potential. And as we make it our business to get started doing what God is calling us to do. As you heard me say earlier, Deacon Booth, you'll get all hemmed up. The enemy ain't happy. The enemy is going to want you to think about all the stuff that's happening around you, looking at how you used to be. But the one thing I want us all to understand, the way that we used to live before we came to the Lord, is that we allowed the external to impact the internal. But now that we have Jesus, we know it don't start on the outside. It starts on the inside. And what happens inside of me, it starts to impact what is around me. Because the reason why we understand that is because of 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, greater is he that is in than he that is in the. So that means that all you got to do is focus on the inside and let it come to the outside. But what we make the mistake of doing is we focus on the outside and it starts to impact the. And then we find ourselves doing nothing. You see, and that's the whole reason why Paul is saying to them. Because if I quote it, I'm going to quote King James. He that began a good work in you is able to complete it. So in all actuality, what Paul is saying, the Lord is the one that began the work in you. And the Lord is the one that's going to see you through. So in all actuality, Paul is saying is that when you start going on that road, every now and then you're going to hit a bump. Every now and then you're going to go down to the valley. Every now and then you got to go around some tight curves. Every now and then you're going to ride through the storm. Every now and then it's going to get a little windy. Every now and then it's going to get a little cold. Every now and then it's going to get intensely hot. But it don't matter. I know that the Lord is the one who began this good work in me. And he will not leave me nor forsake me. He's going to go with me every step of the way. So since I know God is going with me every step of the way, it's because the Lord is in me. And what's in me is going to get me through whatever I am going through. Because I have a full potential. And I got to go with it. And I got to know if God started, he won't bring it to an end. He will take me all the way through. You see, my brothers and sisters, the struggle that we have is that when we get going, what happens is we allow external things to impact our internal. What happens, Sister Worthy, is that when we let folk from the external impact our internal, it's like we're taking a rock and putting it on top of what God is trying to grow in us. And when we put the rock on it, it can't grow. It ain't like God can't knock the rock away. But what God wants to know, are you going to get the rock out of the way? If you put it there, then you need to take it off. So what I want you to understand is that you got to stop letting external stuff have more impact on you than the eternal stuff. You have to understand that God wants you to look out on the inside. Look at where he's brought you from. Look at what he's doing in you. Look at how he's made a way out of no way. Look at how he's reshaped your life. Look at how he's opened doors for you. Look at the opportunities he's made for you. Look how he's keeping you in your right mind. Look how you're able to do this and do that. Look at how far you've come. Look at how you've accomplished things you thought you could never accomplish. When you think about all that God has done for you, and you mean to tell me now you're going to put a rock? You're going to put a rock on top of what God is growing in you? You see, my brothers and my sisters, some of us have done that. I've been guilty.
All right.
You see, when you sometimes got to deal with church killers, church killers will do all they can to stop you from growing.
All right.
And if you listen to the church killers, they'll have you take rocks and put it on top of what God is growing in you. And before you know it, they'll add some more. They'll add some more. Hand me another one. They'll add some more. Hand me a hymn. Yes, there you go. Hymn book, hymn book. They'll add some more. And before you know it, they'll add some more. Before you know it, they'll add some more. And before you know it, you can't move no more. You're stuck right where you are. You're bitter right where you are. You're in church mad at everybody. Ain't nothing good. Ain't nothing right. But what I'm here to tell you today, it's time for you. It's time for you. Take the rocks off. Take the rocks off. Take the rocks off. It's time for you to get that stuff off of you. And once you get it off of you, now you can live to your full potential. I'm sorry, Reverend Rose, I didn't mean for you to do that. But what I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters, God has a plan for us. And it's left up to us to live to our full potential. And the only way to get there is you got to keep your focus on the inside. Don't focus on the outside. For we walk by and not by. Do you see the difference? You see, if you're walking by sight, I'm listening to the external. I'm focusing on the outside. But when I walk by faith, I'm focusing on the inside, and I'm going to let the inside impact what's on the outside. Somebody going to work with me. I know you ain't perfect. I know you got struggles. I know you got stuff don't nobody know but you and God. Somebody going to work with me. Come on, don't get overly holy on me now. I want us all to reach our full potential. And the only way we're going to get there is we got to be transparent. If we can't be transparent with nobody else, we got to be transparent with ourselves. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
So what Paul is saying, he that began a good work in you is able to bring it to completion. When essence what Paul is saying to us, my brothers and sisters, God got it started, God gonna keep it going. And since God's gonna keep it going, don't you dare focus on what you think is wrong. You focus on how far God has brought you. I understand you still struggle with a little of this and struggle with a little of that, but guess what? Ain't none of us perfect. And if I want you to be, if we are real about it, there are folk, everybody reading that Bible, they are just like you and I. They all were imperfected. They all had imperfections, I should say. And the only one who was perfect, his name is I want you to know everybody outside of Jesus had something that was a burden on them. They had something that was trying to cause them to stop growing. But what we have to understand is that it's left up to us to continue to trust God and take the stones off that we put on there. And the only reason why we put the stones on there is we listen to what folk are saying to us. And if folk ain't saying nothing to help us, they church killers. Church killers ain't trying to grow you. Church killers is trying to knock you out. Church killers is trying to stop you in your tracks. Church killers, all they want to do is talk about what's wrong and not praise God for what's right. But what I want you and I to do, in order for us to live to our full potential, we ain't going to focus on the negativity. We going to praise God for what he's done and what he is going to do. Because I'm going to move forward in my full potential. I got somebody that's encouraging me. I got somebody in my corner. I got somebody that will see me through. I got somebody to keep me in my right mind. I got somebody who is blessing me. I got somebody who continues to heal me. I got somebody who is delivering me. I got somebody who stick closer to me than any brother. I got somebody who protects my front, back, left, right, top, bottom. I got somebody who's going to wipe my tears. I got somebody who will rock me to sleep at night. I got somebody who's going to wake me up. And his name is... You see, my brothers and sisters, what Paul is letting them know. You got to stay with Jesus. You want to find out how far you can go? If you started with God, you got to stay with God. I know you're going to have some trips along the way, but you got to stay with God. Yeah. You can't look left or right. You got to stay with God. You can't let the outside stuff impact the inside stuff. It's the inside stuff that needs to impact the... Somebody working with me. Paul said all this, y'all. And you know why he said all this? Check this out. What he says here is even further in verse number 7. He said, it is right for me to think this way about all of you because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with who? Me, both with my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. So what Paul is saying, the same grace that I receive is the same grace you receive. And he said, and I know you care about me, and you know I care about you. Because that's a real question that we got to ask one another, my brothers and sisters in church. Just look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, do you really care about me? You see, I want you to understand that that's a poignant question that's always in the church, because some folk feel that they're in church and they're all by themselves because they don't think that nobody cares about them, because don't nobody talk to them, nobody says anything to them, everybody pass them on by, and when they do speak to them, it's like a quick aha, they go on. You see, they don't think that you care about them. You see, my brothers and my sisters, if we're going to truly be a church that is impactful and living to our full potential, we got to let folk know that we are. Or somebody working with them. We got to let folk know we care about them. And when we let folk know we care about them, we want them to understand that we care about them, and we want them to care about us. And we want them to pray for them, because we're going to pray for them. And they're going to pray for us. And we have to understand it's all about the grace of God. And because of that, Paul said, y'all aren't embarrassed because of my imprisonment. Y'all continue to send me good stuff. And he said, and the other thing that really gets me excited is that I'm able to see the confirmation of the gospel. You're able to see the confirmation of the gospel. What does that mean? You see, I'm going to give you this is an analogy, and it's going to help you out. When you're playing catch with somebody, Deacon Boo, you throw them the ball, and you wait for them to what? You see, whenever we are sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with folk, we are what? Throwing the ball. And as we're throwing the ball, what we're doing is letting them know the goodness and grace and mercy of our God, how he's a healer, deliverer, how he's a way maker, sustainer, a provider, a maintainer. He's all of those things. And we get them to understand. And eventually, when we see that they're growing in the Lord, that's them throwing it back to us. They're throwing the ball back to us, because we now can see a confirmation that the same God that has blessed us and made a way for us, it's the same God that's blessing and making a way for them. You see, my brothers and my sisters, do you get excited when you see the Lord blessing somebody else? Do you get excited when you see that which you shared with somebody else, the Lord is bringing it back and letting you see how this person has grown. Do you see how the Lord is moving in our midst? My brothers and my sisters, when we understand how good our God is, we can't help but give him the glory, the honor, and the praise. We can't help but waving our hands and telling him thank you. We can't help but going on and just getting our praise on and running all around the building. We ain't got to wait for somebody to tell us it's time to praise. I know it's time to praise because I'm alive. Do I got any alive folk in God's house? That's the time to praise because I am alive. I got to praise God because it brought me a mighty long way.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You know, there's another piece. Paul just says in verse 8, for God is my witness. How long? For all of you, I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ. You see, Paul just, when he hears about how good they're doing and what's happening, he just wants to see them because he loves them. He longs to see them because he wants to continue to see how God is moving. Not so that he can pat himself on the back, but so that he can lift his hands up and praise God. Because he knows it's nobody but God. But the thing that we're seeing in verse 9, he says, and this is my prayer. Mm-hmm. So you know what this is telling me. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, will you pray for me? And I'll pray for you. You see, what Paul here is saying is that he is letting the church in Philippi know what his prayer has been for them. You see, in order for us to live to our full potential, Paul is saying, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is what best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm working on my harvest. You know, in order for us to be working on our harvest, love's got to overflow in us. Because love started in us. Because when we came to realize how much God loves us, you know how we came to that realization? It's because when the Lord came to our lives, he came into our house, he saw what it looked like, and he didn't leave. Somebody gonna catch that. Somebody gonna catch that. When he came into our house, and he saw what it looked like on the inside, he didn't leave. He rolled his sleeves up and he commenced to clean our house up. And look at your neighbor and said, he's still cleaning me now. You see, because I want you to understand, as long as you're living in this earth, as long as you got breath in your body, your house going to still need to be cleaned. Amen. And I am thankful that the Lord is cleaning our house. And in order for us to truly be about a harvest, we have to move forward with love overflowing from us. And the love starts with one, and it overflows from one, and then it makes two. It overflows from two, then it makes four. Are you getting where I'm going? So if love is overflowing out of every child of God in this place, we all ought to be floating on the pond or the lake of love that's in this church. And when somebody on the outside who doesn't know Jesus comes to the inside, first they gonna sink because they realize their condition. But then the Lord lets them know, I love you. I'm gonna clean you up. And next thing you know, you start to flow. You know, I can't swim a lick, but I'm an expert swimmer in the love of God. Do I got some expert swimmers in the love of God? Because we are in this place where it is overflowing with love. And since it's overflowing with love, we know that God is in this place. And that we are going to make it our business to live to our full. You see, my brothers and sisters, God's got a great work for us. But in order for us to conceive this great work, I want you to know, Sister Ruby, there's going to come a time where for a moment it's going to seem like it's a law. And then that's when the church killers come back up. See? I told you. But can I give you something to help you out? I go back to over 2,000 years ago when the disciples saw Jesus taken away. They scattered. And they saw him crucified on that Friday. And other folk were looking at them, see, I told you. Yeah, he fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Yes, he gave sight to the blind. Yes, he made the lame walk. Yes, he rose some folk from the dead. Yes, he did great things. Yes, he calmed the wind and he made the waves stop. Yes, he did all that. But look at him now. I told you it was a waste of time. So I can see the disciples on Friday night. When they woke up on Saturday, they still were in a funk because of what happened to Jesus. And then they went to bed on Saturday. They were still in a funk because of what happened to Jesus. But they got up early on Sunday morning and they heard a knock on the door. It was Mary Magdalene coming to let them know that he is not dead, but that he is risen. You see, I want you to understand something. What you do for Christ will last. Yeah. And you have to live to your full potential. Yeah. Every now and then it might seem like ain't too much happening right at that moment. But that's all right, Lord. I'm going to continue to praise you. I'm going to continue to thank you. I'm going to continue to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm going to continue to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. And I know, Lord, that this too shall pass. And I know you're not done with me yet. How do I know? Because I'm still breathing. And since I know I'm still breathing, there's still work for me to do. Do I got any folk in God's house that understand how good our God is? How far our God is going to take us? Even when we get a low, we got to go on and praise God anyhow. Because he will make a way out of no way. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who understand how good our God is? Put your head back and say, thank you.